Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph at the new perek. As we've discussed previously, a important part of the Avodah on Yom Kippur was the Kohen Gadol bringing the two seirim, the Sar LaHashem and the Sar LaChatos. The two seirim, as we will learn, were two animals that were identical, and the Kohen, the way it was identified, which animal will be the Sar LaHashem and which animal will be the Sar LaHazazel, was through a Geirel. And therefore, says the Mishnah, that what the Kohen Gadol did was, Tarif Bekapi, the number of Pshatim and Tarif Bekapi, most Pshat, Rashi learns, Pitzoyim Betrifa Bechatifa, he put his hand into the backs where you had these two pieces of wood, one set on it Lashem, one set on Hachatos, he put it in very quickly that he should not in any way know what what will come out, that there shouldn't be in any way a manipulation. The Rebbeinu Chananel explains that Torah B'Kafi means that he mixed up the two pieces of paper, the two pieces of wood that they had these two things. And as I saw, the Siach Yitzchak explains that Rashi and Rebbeinu Chananel are not really disagreeing. The point is that we do not want to have any manipulation that, as we're going to see, the Kohen wanted the Geirel to come out, the Geirel Hashem, to come out on in his right hand. And of course, we wanted to avoid that from happening that would be not what honest. The Hellish Negerolis, and he picked out these two pieces, Echad Kosov Lashem, on one of them it was written the word Lashem, Echad Kosov Lazazel, and one was written on it the word Lazazel. Haskan and the assistant Kohen Gadol stood, says the Mishnah, Biminoi, to the right of the Kohen Gadol, Rosh Beis Av stood to stood to his left side. Im Ola Shel Shem, Im Shem Shem Ola B'Yaminoi. If the piece that had the word Shel Shem came up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, Haskan, the Skan who was standing to his right side, Oimeloi would say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master the Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yimcha, raise your right hand and let everybody see that the Goyal that sat on it the same Shem Hashem came up in your right hand. Im Shel Shem Ola B'Smoloi, and if the Shel Shem came up in the Kohen Gadol's left hand, Rosh Beis Av Amaloi, the Rosh Beis Av who was standing to his left side, would tell him, Ishei Kohen Gadol Hagme Smolcha, he would tell him, pick up your left hand. Nosnan Ashnei Seirim, after he picked up these two gorillas, he put them on the two animals, Aymer, and when he puts the goyal that says Lashem, he puts it on the piece, on the animal that says, he puts that and he says Lashem Chatos. Rabbi Shmuel Omer LaYotzarech Loim Chatos. There was no need for him to say Chatos. All he said was Lashem Bavad. He only said the words Lashem. And Hain, when everybody who was standing in the Azara heard him saying this, says, Einem Akrav, they would answer after him, Baruch Hashem, L'chusolei L'ovad. So Tosfos Yeshanim asks, that here the Mishnah says that the declaration that the Kohen made when he identified the animal that's going to be L'Hashem, he said, L'Hashem Chatos, or L'Hashem alone. And he asks that the Gemara Masechta Nedarim teaches us that if somebody is designating an animal as a carbon, he has to be very careful not to say L'Hashem Chatos, but he should say Chatos L'Hashem, because if he's going to be using a word and he's also going to be using the word L'Hashem, we're concerned that he may say the word L'Hashem and then not complete the statement, and it'll turn out that he said the word L'Hashem as Levatola. So why over here are we not concerned for that? So he answers that since we follow what it says in the pasuk, and at the pasuk it says, "Asha olalav hagoyer l'Hashem v'sa chatos." So the Torah uses the words l'Hashem first. So he has to follow the way the Torah describes it. The Ritva explains that even the Tanakhama says that as soon as you say the word l'Hashem, you've accomplished, the Kohen Gadol has accomplished what he needs to accomplish. Meaning he accomplished that he identified which animal is supposed to be l'Hashem. The Torah, according to the Tanakhama, also wants it to say, also wants the Kohen Gadol to say chatos. But the real designation is l'Hashem. So in other words, what the Ritva is saying is that l'Hashem is really not to be understood as part of the phrase L'Hashem Chatas. Rather, it should be L'Hashem, and that is the complete designation. And then also, the Torah wants us to add the word Chatas. Therefore, here we have to say the word L'Hashem first. So the Mishnah said, as we discussed, that when the Kohen Gadol began the scarlet process, he mixed up or quickly put his hands into the box with these two pieces. Ask the Gemara Lomeli Tarpa Klapi, why is it so important that it be done this way? Answers the Gemara, Kech Delay Nechavim V'Nishkol. We want it to be a true Goyrel, and that in no way should there be any manipulation. That means that we, because as we're going to see, that it was considered very fortunate if it turned out that the right hand, that the Goyrel Hashem, came out on the right hand, but we don't want any that to be done in a deliberate manner, so we did it this way. So ask the Tosfos Shoshanim that why should we be concerned? If doesn't the Kohen Gadol know that if he's manipulating the Goyrel, that he hasn't really accomplished anything? Because the Torah says that the Goyrel should be done in a proper fashion. So if that's the case, why would he do it in any other way, which is only disqualifying the Goyrel? So the Pashto Teretz says, we learned that not all of the Kohanim were in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, particularly, were of the highest stature. And when we're dealing with these type of people, there's a concern that they won't do it properly. Another pshat is that sometimes in the Kohen Gadol's great desire to do it that way, he may end up doing it the wrong way. So in order to prevent that from happening, that's why we had to make tarp a klapi. Moreover, as we're going to learn, the Goyrel was not necessarily, the Goyrel is not ma'akif. So therefore the Kohen may not really be that concerned. Davni Nezer explains, why is it such a big point that the Kohen Gadol wanted the Goyrel to come out on the right hand? So he explains the Gemara Masechta Soita says La'olim tei small doicha v'yamin mekarevis. The purpose of the azazel is to push away the averus from Klal Yisrael. The purpose of the sor is to bring close our neshamas to the kedusha. That should always be done with the right hand, and that's why the Kohen Gadol was anxious that it should be done, that it should come out, that should be the result of his Goyrel. Amarava, Klapish Leitzhoisa. The box that they made the Goyrel was made out of gold, Shulchol Choisa, and it wasn't a Kli Kodesh, and Enemachzekas El Shtei Yudayim, and it only had enough room to hold two hands. Kecha, like we just learned, that there should be no manipulation. And it's important to point out, how could there be any manipulation? They're two pieces of paper. So how would the Kohen, if he could put his hand in and manipulate, anyway know which one says L'Hashem and which one says L'Azazel? So the Rishonim explained that the words L'Hashem and L'Azazel were not written on the piece of paper. They were actually engraved into the pieces of wood. And since they were engraved in the pieces of wood, that's easy perhaps to tell which one is L'Hashem and which one is L'Chatas. So, it only had room for two hands. In order that the Kohen Gadol should not be able to manipulate. Ask the Gemara, Elul Shachol, why was it specifically made out of Klichol, the Kache, isn't it, shouldn't we make it out of Chol, out of Klisharis? Isn't that a covered for the mitzvah, explains the Tosfos Yeshanim, that we should use a Kli Kodesh to do this Geirul? Answers the Gemara, Im Kain Havlei Klisharis Shalitz, says the Gemara, it'll turn out that now we have a Klisharis made out of wood, the Klisharis the Eitz, Loyavdin, and we want to avoid making a klisharis out of wood. And as the Tosfos Yeshanim asks, explains the Gemara, he says, why would we have this concern? A klisharis doesn't become a klisharis only with the avodah. As we learned previously, the concept of avodosom mechanchosom, that using the klisharis for whatever purpose makes it into a kleli. And here, the geirul is not an avoider. So what's the concern? So he says that indeed it would not become a klisharis, but people don't realize that using something just for a geirul does not turn it into a klisharis. And people will assume that it becomes a klisharis even just with a geirul. And because people may make that error, that's why they were careful not to be mekadeshit at all. The Ritva has a different approach. Ritva says that indeed the geirul is not an avoider. And normally we have a concept of avoidason b'chan choson. But when this is the entire purpose of this klisharis, then even though it's made out of kliates, then that avoider, albeit it's not a full-fledged avoider, makes it into a keli. So our Gemara says, the klisharis, the eitz loy avdilin. But actually, the Rishonim point out that this is a machloikus, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Rebbe, if you could have a klisharis made out of wood. Rebbe holds that you can't. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds you can. So that's why many Rishonim suggest that our Gemara is following the opinion of Rebbe. But I saw that the Tosfos Yeshanim says that no, even Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you could have a klisharis made out of wood, he holds that that's only acceptable b'dieved. Here we're speaking about a l'chatchila situation. L'chatchila, of course, we should only have a klisharis out of wood. So ask the Gemara. So why not? V'nasa d'chesav v'nabda d'zov. So let's make the specs out of silver and gold. Answers the Gemara. Hatayra chason amamonim shal Yisrael. The Torah is concerned that we shouldn't spend money where it's not necessary. And since it's not necessary to spend money to make the klisharis out of silver and gold, that's why we didn't do so. So Ritva asks a question. Here the Gemara said the concept of Atayra Chosav HaMonim Shal Yisrael. The Torah is concerned about the money of Klal Yisrael, and the Torah did not want that we should spend money indiscriminately. But on another hand, we find in other places that Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiris. We just learned about all the various individuals who were mentioned L'Shvach, that they spent money, that they made things in the Beis Hamikdash out of gold. So how do we reconcile these two different concepts? So he says, something that was used on a regular basis. So there we say Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiris. We want the Beis Hamikdash to be in the most beautiful way possible. But something that we use on a very unfrequent basis, like in our Gemara, where we only did the Geirul once a year, that's what we say at Torah Chosson and Amonah Shiyasral. But I did see that the Chavetz Chaim in the Sefer Likutei Halachos says that even though our Gemara here is saying we did not make this box out of silver and gold, because at Torah Chosa Amamonim Shi Yisrael, says the Chavetz Chaim, that's only when it's talking about the Tzibur. So we won't tell the Tzibur to spend money on a Geirul, on the box that's used, as we just said, particularly only once a year. But if there is a Yochid, if there's one individual who wants to come forth and donate that it should be made out of silver and gold, that's something that we would certainly accept. I also saw that the Sefer Teres Tzion explains that since by every Kohen Gadol they made a new box, Because we just learned that we want to make sure that the box is made in a way that the Kohen Gadol can't manipulate. So it turns out that every time they had a new Kohen Gadol, and as we've been discussing in our Shiurim, that unfortunately, particularly in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, happened on a common basis. So that's why it would turn out they would have to make a new gold or silver box every year, and that's why we say Hatayra Chasha Manim Shal Yisrael. I saw a vart from the Sefer Ba'olei Tzadikim. The why do we particularly make it out of silver and gold? Because as we know, even when the Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, when he was doing the Avodah, he was thinking about the panosa, about the financial situation of Klai Yisrael. And since at that time he was thinking about the financial situation of Klai Yisrael, he wanted to, we made, told him, the box should be made out of wood. And he should realize that not all of Klai Yisrael, unfortunately, have the panosa they need to have. And let's hope and the Kohen Gadol should daven that Klai Yisrael should have panosa. How would he remember that the situation of Klai Yisrael is not always that great, the financial situation? By having a wood box. Says the Gemara, Masnissin Deloy Kai Tana. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of the following Tana. The Tanya Rehuda Oimim Shimra Belezer. Haskan va Kohen Gadol machnisen yodem beklapi. The both the skan and the Kohen Gadol both put their right hands into the box. In biminish a Kohen Gadol oila. If the Goyel Hashem comes up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, haskan oimeloi. The skan tells the Kohen Gadol ishi Kohen Gadol hag beyamincha. Raise your hand. Vimiminish a skan oila. If the Goyel Hashem comes up in the right hand of the skan, Reish Beis Av Oymeloy L'Kohen Gadol, the Reish Beis Av says to Kohen Gadol, Dabim Milcha. Say what you have to say, and say L'Hashem Chattis, but it doesn't go with the same publicity. Ask the Gemara, name of the skan. Why does the Reish Beis Av say it to him? Shouldn't the skan be the one to say it to him? Why, when it came up in his left hand, was it the Reish Beis Av saying it to him? Answers the Gemara, since the Goyel Hashem, as we've been learning in our Shia today, the Kohen Gadol was most anxious that the Goyel Hashem should come up in his right hand, and here it did not come up in his right hand. Chol Shedate, it came up in the right hand of the Skan. So the Kohen Gadol feels bad. So that's why we didn't want the Skan saying this to the Kohen Gadol, because if the Skan is going to say to the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol is going to feel bad. So the Tosfos Shanim asks, we're going to learn Mitzvashem in tomorrow's shir that according to many Tanoim, the Goyel is Makevis, that the Goyel must be done on Yom Kippur. If the Goyel must be done on Yom Kippur, it means it's an Avoida. And we learned that all Avoidas on Yom Kippur must strictly be done by the Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos Shanim says that even if we learn Goyel Makevis, it doesn't mean that the Goyel is considered an Avoida. The Goyel has to be done, but it doesn't make it into an Avoida. And since it doesn't make it into an Avoida, that's why it could even be done through the Skan. Another teretz is that when we have a Goyel, and there's only, as we're learning, two pieces of wood in that Goyel, as soon as the first piece is taken out, actually the Goyel is already over. Because whichever was taken out first, there's only one piece left. So as soon as the Kohen Gadol did his part of the Goyel, for all intents and purposes, the Goyel is already determined that we'll know which animal is Lashem and which animal is Lazazel. And therefore, since at that point the Goyel is already over, it turns out that the Kohen Gadol did the entire Goyel, and that's why there's no need for, that's why it's not a question that how could we have an Avoida that's done by the cut that was done by the Skan. Moreover, the Tosfos Shanim asks that we learned that if the Goyel Hashem turns out, is on the is in the right hand of the skan, there we say dabe milcha, say it. Why don't we say hagba yamincha? So the Tos Rishonim answers that there's no question that the skan also has to raise his hand. But by the Kohen Gadol, as we keep on learning, he's very busy, he's very tired, he's the one that has to declare Lashem Chatos. So with all of that going on, he may forget to raise his hand. And that's why we tell him specifically, Hagbei Yemincha. But on the Kohen Hegit, who doesn't have all these other responsibilities, we don't have this concern, and therefore we don't have to specifically tell him, Hagbei Yemincha. Another teretz is that if we're going to expressly tell the skan, Hagbei Yemincha, the Kohen Gadol, as we keep on saying, is going to feel bad. And we want to avoid that from happening, and that's why we don't use those words for the skan. So we had here a machlokes. How was the geul done? Was it done only by the Kohen Gadol? We're taking out one piece with his right hand and one piece with his left hand? Or was it done with the Kohen Gadol and the skan? It says the Gemara Maikamifki. What is the base of this machlokes? Says the Marsov, you mean the skan, or the smell of the Kohen Gadol. We know in the base of Mikdash, they always avoided using the left hand. So that's why the Kohen Gadol, if he's going to use both hands, is going to have to use his left hand. We want to avoid that from happening, and that's why we have the skan use his right hand, and of course the Kohen Gadol uses his right hand, and we don't have any avoider with the left hand. Marsov, Adodi Nanu, they're both the same. And since they're both the same, it doesn't make a difference. And we can have the Kohen Gadol do both avoidus. And the Tosfos Yeshanim continues explaining that, of course, we can never suggest that an avoider could be done with the left hand. But as we've been saying, we just said it a moment ago, that as soon as the Kohen Gadol puts in his right hand and takes out one piece, the goyel, for all intents and purposes, is already done. So since the goyel is already done, when the next skan comes and puts in his hand, he really hasn't done anything of significance because the goyel is already done. That's why over here we maybe could allow him to use his left hand, or maybe do better that he should use the still. We should strictly use right hands as the Gemara just suggested. The Chibina Rav was asked the question. He said that two people who in a shul who are qualified to be a Baal Tekeya. One is a Talmid Chacham and a Yerushalayim, but he only is able to blow the shofar on his left side. And the other individual is not a person of that stature, but he could blow the shofar on the right side. And it says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's preferable to blow the shofar from the right side of one's mouth. So which of these two Baalei Tekeya should he choose? So he brought a raya from our Gemara that better to take the Baal Tekeya, who's a more choshva person, than to take the Baal Tekeya who could blow on from the left side. Because our Gemara, our Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol does both goyrels. That's the way our Mishnah paskin, and not the skan at all. Even though, as we just said, if the skan would be able to do the avoida, he would be able to use his right hand. If the Kohen Gadol is going to do it, he's going to have to use his left hand. So he says, from here we see that a more choshva person with his left hand is better than a less choshva person with his right hand. Moreover, he actually says that this whole halacha, that it has to be done with the right on the right side of the mouth, the tekiyas, is only a minig. It's not absolutely a halachic requirement. Ask the Gemara, Man haitana de Palag Rabbi Yehuda, who is the Tan of our Mishnah and holds that the Kohen Gadol did all of the Goyrel? Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina Skan HaKohanim Hu. The Tanya Rav Chanina Skan HaKohanim Omer, Lam Skan B'Yaminoi. Why is the skan to the right side of the Kohen Gadol? Shemira be psul be Kohen Gadol. If something with chas v'sham happened to the Kohen Gadol, nichnas skan u'mishamish tachtav. The skan will be there to replace him, but not that he's there to do the actual avoda. So Taisus Shanim asks, why was there a necessity to appoint a skan? Wasn't there also a Meshuach Mechama who was a kohen who led them in battle? And the halacha is a Meshuach Mechama wears all the Shemayna Begadim of a kohen gadol. So why did they also appoint a skan? So he says that's exactly the reason why they appointed a skan. Because the skan only wore the dala bigdekuna. If the kohen gadol will have the skan standing there all of the time wearing the Shemayna Begadim, it will be something that the kohen gadol will be very bothered with. And that's why, in order to avoid the kohen gadol feeling that way, they appointed a skan who will be less of a threat and less of something that bothers the kohen gadol. So the question was, we go back to the beginning of Masechta. We said that we chose a backup for the kohen gadol if something will happen to him on Yom Kippur. Why do we need to choose a backup for the kohen gadol? We already have the skan. So the Gvur Sari wants to say they're not always that they have a skan, so that's why they had to choose sometimes a backup. But we said that the skan, being that he's there all the time, if he's going to be chosen as the backup to the kohen gadol, again, there's a concern that the kohen gadol is going to feel bad. And in order to avoid that concern, we took a different individual to be the backup to the kohen gadol. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, because we're speaking in our shir, how it was so desirable that the Goyer Hashem should come up in the kohen gadol's right hand. So says the Gemara, Abom Shana, Shishim Shimon HaTzadik, for the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the kohen gadol, Hoya Goyer B'Yamin, the Oyla B'Yamin, it always came up on the right side. Mikan V'Eloch, after Shimon HaTzadik was no longer alive, Pam Oyla B'Yamin, sometimes the Goyer came out on his right side, or Pam Oyla B'Smol, and sometimes it came out on his left side. Another thing that happened all of those years, Hoya Loshen Shal Zahiris, the red thread that they put up always malbin. It always became white. Mikan ve'elach, later years, pum malbin, pum shena malbin, sometimes it turned white and sometimes it didn't turn white. And as the Mashal explained, since the Sar Lazozo, they put this red thread on the Sar Lazozo, and the Pasuk says regarding that, regarding the Sar Lazozo, V'nasa hasar olav es kolal v'noisom. So if it would turn red, everybody would be extremely happy. And therefore, during those years, that's what happened. Another thing that happened all those years was Hayah Ner Maravi Dalek, the Ner Maravi of the Menorah. Says Machloikis, which is the Ner Maravi? Some say it's the middle candle. Some say it's the second candle. It really is connected to the machloikis, where and which direction that the menorahs stand in the Beis Hamikdash, east to west or north to south. Pan Mekan Ve'elach, the Ner Meravi stayed on even after all the other candles went out in the morning. Mekan Ve'elach, in later years, Pam Doilich sometimes remained on the entire day until the next evening. Pamim Covenant, sometimes it was extinguished and did not stay on. Another nace, Vayesha Marocha Mizgaber, the fire on the Mizbeach was always strong. Vloya Kahanim Tzrichim Lahavi Eitzim. The Kahanim did not have to bring wood, Mila Marocha, during the entire day to add fire to burn what was put on the Mizbeach. Chutz Mishnei Gzira Eitzim, besides the two logs of wood that we discussed earlier in our Masechta, that the Torah specifically says has to be put on the Mizbeach every day, today, L'kai Mitzvah Eitzim, where the Torah says there's a mitzvah to put them on the Mizbeach every day. V'kan ve'eluch, in future years, Pama Mizgaber or Pama Einim Mizgaber. Sometimes the fire was strong, and sometimes it wasn't strong. And if there was fire wasn't strong, the Kohanim had to bring fire all day long. It says the Gemara further, throughout Shimon HaTzad's tenure, there was a bracha in the Omer, Ubishtei Alechem, Ubalechem Aponim, Kol Koyin, Shemagia Kazayas, any kohen got a kezias of these foods had a bracha that he was full. Yesh oichloi v'savoi. There were some people that ate it and they were satiated. Yesh oichloi. They even just got a kezias, but it was so satiating. U'meiser. He even had leftovers from that kezias because he couldn't eat it all up. Mikav ve'eloch. Future years. Nishtalcha me'era ba'omer. There was a klala that came into the omer. U'shtei lechem lechem upon him. V'kol koyin. Every one of the kohanim, Megiyah, he only got put kapul, the size of a bean. Hatsnuin, the kohanim who were quieter, Moshchen as Yedeim, they didn't want to fight, so they just would not even participate. The Gagarim Noitlim, but the people who always wanted to eat, they weren't ready to give up their share, so they took their share for Eichlim and they would eat it. And says, the Gemara, there was an individual who was so anxious that not only he take the shear that was deserving to him, but he also took his colleague, another Kohen's shear, and they used to call him Ben Chamsam Adjoy Moisoy. They called him a person who is a thief, that he took somebody else's shear for the rest of his life. Amar Rabbi Barav Shela, my craw, what's the pasuk that says the word chamson means a thief? Because the pasuk says in Tehillim, Elokai, palteini miyad rosho, mikaf mi'avel v'choymetz. So we see the word choymetz means somebody that stole. Rava Amar mihocha, lomdo heitav dirshu mishpat ashru choymetz. So Tosfos asks that if the Gemara just said that this was the common habit of some kohanim to take the shear of other kohanim, why was this kohen called a gazlan? Why was he called this name versus all the other kohanim? So Tosfos says that all the other kohanim, when the other kohen took away their shear, were meichel. But this person wasn't meichel. And since he wasn't meichel, that's why he's called a chamtzin. The pasuk says, Ashru chametz, praise the person who had stolen, make him, he's the one that we should be concerned about. V'atashru chaymetz. Explained the Gemara. What does this mean? We have a malva and a loiva. And many times when somebody lends money to someone else, the person, the borrower, leaves a mashkin, leaves a security by the malva. And the loiva had here a situation where he owes money to the malva, and he didn't pay his money to the malva. And he says, well, I left the mashkin by the malva, and he has to first return the mashkin, and then I'll pay back the choiv. So the Torah, the pasuk is teaching us, the first obligation is that the loiva has to pay back the money that he owes. And after the loiva pays back the money that he owes, then we'll talk about the mashkin. That's what the Torah says. So our Gemara just discussed how much was given in the earlier times, what was the shear that every kohen got from these foods, and what was the shear later? So there's a discussion about the omer, and some explain that the omer wasn't distributed amongst all the kohanim. It's actually, if we look at this Gemara in the Yerushalmi, the Gemara only speaks about the shtei lechem and the lechem upon him. Our Gemara says that it was given to everyone, even the Omer. And Rav Cheskel Abramsky explains that the machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi is who got a share of the Omer that was brought on the second day of Pesach. According to the Yerushalmi, only the Kohanim of that week's Mishmar got a share of the Omer. And that's why the Gemara only mentions, the Gemara doesn't mention the Omer, because it wasn't such a large group, it wasn't all the Kohanim to whom it was distributed. Our Gemara, says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, held that everybody got a share. And since everybody got a share of the Omer as well, it's included in our Gemara. So it says in our Gemara that every Kohen got the size, later on, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, every Kohen just got the share of a pull, just the size of a bean, which is less than a kezias. So The Taisus Shadim asks a question. We know that whenever the Torah speaks about achila, the shear is a kazayas. And a pull, which is obviously less than a kazayas, is not a shear. So how are they mekayim the mitzvah? So the Taisus Shadim says that you don't have to have a kazayas. The shear of a pull is enough to be yotze mitzvah achila. The Torah, when it requires a kazayas, is only where the Torah wants you to be satiated with the food that we're talking about. And satiation only is achieved with a kazayas. And the Beis Halevi explains what the Tosfos Shana means. He says, the mitzvah of eating kachim is different than the mitzvah, the other places in the Torah where the Torah tells us to eat. The mitzvah of achilas kachim, explains the Beis Halevi, is not a mitzvah like in other places. The Torah tells us to eat matzah on Pesach. So the Torah tells us to eat matzah on Pesach. The Torah says achila, and the sheer achila is a kazayis. By kachim, explains the Beis Halevi, the chiv is that the kachim should be consumed, that whatever is here should be eaten. So even though every koyin is only getting kapul, is only getting the size of a bean, it doesn't bother us. Because as long as the entire food that we're speaking about, the shtei lechem, the lechem upon him, are all eaten up, then we will mekayim the mitzvah. In other words, the Miches Chinuch asks, explains the same point. He says the chiv of eating kachim is not a chiv on the gavra. It's not a chiv on the individual. It's a chiv on the Heftza, that it should all be eaten up. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference if everybody got only a kapul. So, the Achronim asks, so Agamar says, Hatsnuim moishchen es yadeim min hakotshim. But if we're learning, especially given the explanation that we just learned, that by kotshim, there is no specific mitzvah to eat a kazayis. So if there's no specific issue to eat a kazayis, why would and you kind the mitzvah with whatever you eat? So how did the tznuim walk away from that mitzvah? So the Tva says that even though, as we're learning, there is no specific mitzvah to eat a kazayis. However, if you're not eating kazayis, then you're not really being mekayim a mitzvah. And therefore, since you're not really being mekayim a mitzvah, and it's a situation that you want to avoid machloikis, you want to avoid quarrel, that's why they were allowed to walk away. And therefore, based on this, the Achronim discuss that, let's say, we know, as we just mentioned, on Pesach, one's supposed to eat a kazayis of matzah, one is supposed to eat a kazayis of maror, the person has less than a kazayis, or unfortunately, it's an individual that can only eat, that can't eat the full kazayis. Is there any point in eating less than a kazayis? So there are chayim that say, based on the sitra, that there's no point in eating less than a kazayis. The Chidah disagrees. He says that even though the mitzvah is a kazayis, if somebody eats less than a kazayis, he is mekayim a mitzvah. It's not the full mitzvah, but he's still mekayim a mitzvah. He says, similar to davar asur, when you're not a food that you're not allowed to eat. So again, a food, macholos asuris, the shear of macholos asuris is a kazayis. Let's say somebody ate less than a kazayis. So you know that throughout Shas, there's a concept of chotzi shear asim in the Torah. You're not allowed to eat less than the kazayis either. So says the Chidah, just like when it comes to Macholos Asuris, there's a rule that Chatzi Shir Osim in a Torah, and you're not allowed to eat even less than a kazayis of Macholos Asuris. The same thing is by it comes to a mitzvah, that if you can't eat the kazayis, eat as much as you can. And what the Ritva means to say is that, of course, there's a mitzvah to eat, even a pull. But since it's only a pull, it's not something worth fighting over. And the Shari Shuvah discusses a case when there are two people who each only have a kazayis matzah. So should each person eat his piece of matzah, and neither one is going to mekayim the mitzvah properly, or should one person give over his half a kazayis to the other person, that will have at least one person who's fulfilling the mitzvah. So he says it's certainly inappropriate for one person to turn over his half a kazayis to the other person. Everybody has a chiv to do a mitzvah. He says, therefore, each person, especially given what we just learned, the opinion of the chidah, that even if you eat less than a kazayis, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, at least in some fashion, that's better what should be done. Another way he says you should do, he says that we should make a goyrel. And by making a goyrel, what we're showing is that who will get to eat the whole kazayis, even though the other person will get to eat nothing. By making that goyrel, so what I've done is, I've tried to get to eat a whole kazayis. So by me showing that I'm trying to get to a whole kazayis, I have fulfilled the mitzvah. At the end, I may not get to eat any of the matzah, so then I'm an oinus rechmanei patre. Another, the Ben Yoyada asks, why are the people who were ready to walk away from their share called tznuin? So he answers that the tznuin had a challenge. On one hand, as we just discussed, they didn't want to fight. On the other hand, they didn't want to in any way show that the mitzvah of eating from the shtei lechem, lechem upon him, is not important to them. So even when they walked away, they did it b'tznien. They did it in a very quiet way that it shouldn't be obvious that they're walking away. And that's why they're called tznuin. Tana Rabbanan. Oysa shana shemes by Shimon HaTzadik. The year when Shimon HaTzadik was nifter, Amalahem, Shimon HaTzadik told his Talmidim, B'shana Zehu Meis, that he knows he's going to pass away this year. Amalai, so his Talmidim said to him, Menayin atu yedeya, how do you know? Amalem, B'chol Yom Kippurim, every year Yom Kippur, Ha'mizdamen li, Zaken ech lovish levenim, Vata levenim. There was somebody who accompanied me who was wearing white clothing. The nichnas me, he would enter with me to the Kodesh Kedoshim, the yotze me, and would go out for me with me. The yom is damli zokin echelovish shchayrim. This year, the zokin that accompanied me was wearing black clothing, thought of shchayrim. Nichnas me, he entered with me v'lo yotze me, and it says the gemara indeed achar regel after yontif. What happened was chol shivus yomim. He was sick for 7 days umeis, and he passed away. And from when he was nifta, nimnu achvakanim uvarach b'shem, they no longer use the shem on mefarish. So of course, the mefarishim ask that the pasuk says that nobody's allowed to go in with the kohen gadol when he goes into the base of megdish. V'chaladim layir ba'el moed b'voyel chapa b'kodesh, and the gemara says that it means even malachim. So how do we understand this gemara? So I saw that one teretz says it doesn't even mean a malach. But the Gemara, when Shimon HaTzadik meant that someone accompanied him, he means the Shechina HaKadosh itself. Another pshat that they suggest, the Sfasem suggests, is as we've learned, the Kohen entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim twice on Yom Kippur. One was to do all of the avodas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the other time was when he went into Tzor's Kaf HaMachta. When the Torah is so strict about nobody entering with the Kohen Gadol into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was during the first time he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the second time, when he went in for Itzor's Kaf HaMachta, the Torah is not so particular that no one should be there. And that's what Shimon HaTzadik was referring to. So here we said that after Shimon HaTzadik was Nifter, the Kohanim stopped being Mevarach B'Shem. So the question is, the pasuk says, "V'somer shemiyah b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem." So how could the kahanim stop doing a mitzvah d'oraisa? So some explain that, of course, they continued doing Birchus Kahanim. They didn't use Birchus Kahanim, but the shame, the Rambam says this, that they didn't do it with the shame Hamafoyrish, with the shame Membeis Oisiois, or the shame Yutke Vovke, that they pronounced the way it's written. But of course, they continued being Mevarchus Hashem. Tanar Bana Baam Shana Koyim Churban Bayis, 40 years before the Bayis Mikdash was destroyed, Loyagar Oil Bimin. The girl stopped coming up on the right side. V'loy Loshen Shel Zahurus Malbim, we spoke earlier about the red thread on the Sol HaZelzel getting white. V'loy Ner Meravi Dailuk, we spoke about the nais that sometimes the Ner Meravi would remain on for the entire day. V'loy Dalsas HaHechel Neftachas Meleim. And the doors of the Beis HaMikdash would open up by themselves. And Rashi explains that it was a message to our enemies that the doors of the Beis HaMikdash are open and you could just walk in. Other Achronim say that the lesson of this Gemara is that the Dalsas Heichel Neftachas Meleim was that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Lashon Hara. And the lesson here was that their mouths were open all the time to speak what they weren't supposed to speak about. And when that happens, the Shechina no longer is with us, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Until Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, why are you doing this? That you're doing this frightening thing. I certainly am aware that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. The Navi already says, "Psach levanim glosecha v'soich eishber secha." Amar Rabbi Yechim and Tzvilay Lemnik Shmoy Levanon. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called Levanon? Shemal ben Avanaseim Shal Yisrael. That's where our Averis, we have Mechil on Averis. Amar Rabbi Zutra Batov Yelamnik Shmoy Yar. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called a forest? The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Beis Yar Halavonon, Loimelach, Ma Yar Malavliv, just like in the forest, there are all sorts of things that grow. At Beis HaMikdash, Malavliv, there were things that were growing in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ben Yoyada explains, the Gemara used the word Lavliv in referring to the Beis HaMikdash? What the Gemara is trying to teach us is that what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu seek from us in the Beis HaMikdash? Lev. He wants us to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu with our heart. Dom Rav Oshia, B'shar Shabbat Shlomo Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, not about Kominei Megodim Shalzov. He made trees that grew gold. V'ymetzin Peres B'zmeneim. And whenever was the season for fruits to grow, that's when the gold grew. V'kivin Sheruch M'nashev Spen. And when the wind would blow, these fruits would fall down. Yirash Kalvonan period. There was a lot of noise. When you have gold fruit and they're clanking and falling, it makes a lot of noise. Man, and from these fruits, the Kahanim would have Panosa. But when the Akum came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Yofshu, they dried up. Shenemar, Uferach Levonon Umlul. It says the Gemara, V'asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'achzir Lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring those Peres back to us. Shnemar, Baruch Parayach Tifrach V'sago, Af Gilas Ranan K'vayt HaLevonon Nita Lo. We will, in Mitzvah Shem, B'zoicha, B'mehera B'yameinu, to see this all come back. Nosnon, so we learned in our Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol put the Gairolis on these two and on the two animals. Tanah Bonim, Esapam and Mask Kohen Gadol Hashem by Biyoyim. 10 times would the Kohen Gadol mention the Shem Mefarish on Yom Kippur. Shloisha 3 times the Vidi Rishon. Shloisha Vidi Sheni 3 when he did Vidui on his power for his Feirus and the Feirus of his family. Sometimes for the Feirus of him and his family. Shloisha Vidu Sheni, when he said Vidui for the other Kohanim, the Shloisha Asar Mishtaleach, when he said Vidui for the Averis of Klai Yisrael. And the last time, as we're discussing And our Gemara was begarolus when he did the gairol. Says the Gemara, b'kfar, there was already times that Amar Shem, that the Kohen Gadol said the Shem HaFurish, v'nishma kaila b'yirichai, and his voice was heard all the way to Yirichai. Amar Rabbah b'chana, m'rishlaim l'richai, the distance from Yishlaim to Yirichai is a sara parsaz, is 10 parsaz, and that we're able to hear it all the way, all the way. The Taisus Yontif says that what the Gemara means to say wasn't the call of the Kohen Gadol. It actually means the call of the Kohanim, of the other people, as they said, Baruch Shem Kvod Machus Loilam Vod. But that's not, say, most Mepharshim, Pashup Shat and Al Gemara. Al Gemara is saying that it was the Kohen Gadol. And as the Arizal explains, that just like we said, the Pasuk says, B'chomokim Ash'aska Shmi, Ove Elecho V'rachticha, that the Shem HaMepharish came out from the Kohen Gadol's mouth by itself. It wasn't like he was really in control. So it was really the Shem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Shekhinah, speaking through his voice. And that's why his voice was able to travel so far. Says the Gemara, V'izin Shabi Richai, V'tzir, says the Gemara, V'tzir Dalsas HaHechel, the hinge of the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, Nishma, could be heard b'shmanei tchum Shabbos. It could be heard so far the distance of eight tchum Shabbos. Each tchum Shabbos we know is 2,000 amma. V'izim shabirichai. The goats in Yirichai is atvois b'reichak tyrus, would sneeze from the reichak tyrus that traveled so far, that the wonderful smell. And as the pre-tzaddik explains, the pasuk says v'reich loy Kikvonon, that the Ktoiris gave off such a wonderful smell that it went so far. And women who lived even such a far distance as Yirichai would not have to put on perfume, because the Reich HaKtoiris would bring a wonderful smell all the way till Yirichai. The Kalash of Yishlayim and its Richlis Kashit Mereich HaKtoiris. Kalas normally put on more perfume. But the Gemara is saying that the Kalas who lived in Yerushalayim did not have to put on any perfume because of the Ketiris, the strong smell, the strong fragrance of the Ketiris in Yerushalayim. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Degloi, Izim Hayel Elaba Bahari Mikvar, my father owned goats in Hari Mikvar, Vayimus Atvayish Mereich HaKtoiris, and they would sneeze from the Reich HaKtoiris. Amram Chibar Avin Amram Shu Ben Karcha Sochli Zokin Echad Pam Achas Halakti L'Shiloi. I once went to Mishkan Shiloi V'rachti Reich HaKtoiris Ben Ben Kselel. Even though it was so many years after the Churban, but the wonderful fragrance of the K'tiris was so baked in and absorbed into the walls of Shiloi that even years later the wonderful fragrance remained.